إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه وما استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, first and foremost we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His forgiveness and His mercy upon each and every one of us here today. And we further ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless, honor, and ease the pain and suffering of our brothers and sisters wherever they may be. And whatever circumstance they may be struggling with, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to ease their pain and ease their suffering. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal Ahbab, it's very easy in this day and age for us to get engrossed with all of the politics and drama and issues that are happening around the world. That's not necessarily a problem. But the problem does arise is that in spite of all of that, you forget you, yourself. You forget your own problems. Forget your own weaknesses. And you lose sight of that. When you lose sight of yourself and your weaknesses, your mistakes, your errors, this is actually the first stage when all of those things start to become habitual. You start getting comfortable with things that normally if you had focused on them, you would have realized, that's not me. That's not the way that I talk. That's not the way that I behave. That's not who I am. And so, ayyuhal ahbab, today in this short reminder, what I'd like to do is I'd like for all of us, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to just take a moment and reflect and focus on yourselves. This khutbah today is about you and I. And more so because perhaps this will be the last day for our children before they will have some time off and all of the parents, you'll have your kids with you for some time. I hope and I pray that inshaAllah ta'ala you'll use a little bit of the reminder that we have here today to sit and spark conversation with your children. Get to know and get reconnected with their feelings, their lives, what they're thinking about. You'll be very surprised, even with young children, if you just sit them down and you ask them some random question. So are you happy today? You'll be very shocked what they will be telling you. You'll be very surprised how much is on their mind and they'll just jump from subject to subject, issue to issue. And for you as a parent, that is essential for you to understand and stay connected with your children when they're not with you. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to put barakah in our time off with our children. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal ahbab, today what I want to share with you is the five methods of how sahabas spoke to Allah. There are five different patterns, if you like, of how sahabas communicated with Allah to seek His forgiveness. Number one. The first way that they did this is that they never lost hope in Allah. As Allah mentions in Quran, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah tells us in Quran as well, you have as a creation no right to lose hope in Allah. In other verses, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And then He says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمٌ. He'll say in one ayah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is always forgiving and merciful. Then in another verse, He will say the same thing only in past tense. I was always forgiving and merciful. The difference between the two, when Allah speaks in past tense, He's talking about, especially to the audience that disconnect from him, because they've convinced themselves, and young people have to listen to this especially, because when they fall into certain problems and mistakes, and they do it so often, continuously, you know how sometimes you'll find yourself that you can confront 1,000 sins, but there's always this one or two sin that just, no matter how hard you try, you can't seem to get over it. It is the major problem in your life. Allah tells you, if you disconnect from Him, He was always forgiving and merciful when even you disconnected. But you didn't get that from Him. Why? Because you convince yourself, why is Allah going to forgive me? We don't have the right to say that. We are not more superior than Allah's mercy. We don't have the right to say that. And this is why Allah reminds you and I, don't you dare for a moment, whatever it is that you're up to, whatever it is you fall into, don't you dare for a moment lose the connection with me. Because I am always here to forgive you. One very beautiful example that I want to share with you. There was a sahaba by the name of Abu Ta'wil radiallahu anhu. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, there isn't a sin out there except that I've done it. And the reason why he's telling him this is because he wants to seek forgiveness. And so the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam asks this sahaba, did you become Muslim? The sahaba right then and there, you know what he does? He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He became Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ then told him, from this point forward, do good deeds and be careful of your bad deeds. And if you do that, all of your bad deeds are going to be forgiven, as well as they will be converted into good deeds. So the sahaba became so happy and he said, Ya Rasulullah, even the major sins as well? And the Prophet ﷺ says, Na'am, yes, even the major ones as well. This sahaba started celebrating and he started screaming, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he walked into the desert until you couldn't see him no more, and other sahabas spoke of him and they said, we could hear him chanting the takbir until he disappeared. The sahabas never lost hope. Number two, here is another method, another avenue, how sahabas spoke to Allah to seek His forgiveness. They would spontaneously leave off sin without procrastinating. Immediately when they were reminded that something they were doing was wrong, they stopped. A beautiful example of this is the story of Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu. Abu Lubaba was given a task to go to a tribe in Medina called Banu Qurayza. Banu Qurayza had an agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they would not allow mushrikun to enter Medina. And Banu Qurayza broke that agreement. They broke that treaty. And there was a group of mushrikeen that were hiding in Medina. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi heard about this and he told Abu Lubaba, I want you to go to this tribe and see what's happening. So Abu Lubaba, he goes out, he looks for the tribe, he finds them, and then he's shocked what he sees. When he finds Banu Qurayza, he also sees women, children, the weak, the old. They're suffering, they don't have food, they don't have medicine, they have nothing. And some of them would come up to Abu Lubaba and say, save us from this place, get us out of here. So Abu Lubaba said something which he shouldn't have said. He said to them, if you guys don't get out of here, there's going to be a huge massacre. There's going to be a lot of trouble. And then he left, there was chaos. When he left and he returned back to the Prophet ﷺ to let him know he found them and this is what he told them, the Prophet ﷺ was upset with Abu Lubaba. Why did you say that? I didn't tell you to say that to them. I didn't tell you to go and cause that panic amongst them. Abu Lubaba felt so guilty. He felt so upset. You know what he did? He went to a pillar inside the Prophet's mosque and he tied himself to that pillar for 6 days, seeking Allah's repentance. He only untied himself for basic needs and salah. And he said that he's not going to leave this pillar until an ayah is sent down that he is forgiven for what he did. I want you to just think for a moment the attitude. Nobody actually lectured him. They didn't have to quote anything to him. All he had to do was realize that he made the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam upset. He did something he wasn't told to do. That was enough for him. He stopped his whole life. So for 6 days he's attached to this pillar. Around the sixth day, the Prophet ﷺ was sitting in his masjid. And he started laughing to himself. He started smiling and you could see his teeth. His wife Salama radiallahu anha, she asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why are you smiling? He said, the verse has just come to me in Surah Tawbah that Abu Lubaba is forgiven. Salama radiallahu anha, she was so happy. She said, Ya Rasulullah, can I go tell him the good news? The Prophet says, yes, go ahead. She goes up to Abu Lubaba. Abu Lubaba, you can untie yourself. Because the verse came down, you're forgiven. You know what Abu Lubaba said? I'm not moving from here until the Messenger of Allah unties me himself. And the Prophet ﷺ came and untied himself. Those of you who visit Medina and you go to the Rawda, the Gardens of Paradise, there is a pillar there that's painted and designed differently. Today that pillar is called the Pillar of Tawbah, named after this man. A pillar was preserved and his story is preserved. Why? Because when he heard he did something wrong, he stopped immediately. He didn't question it. He submitted himself to Allah and to the commands of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Follow me. Here's number three. The third way is that they never justified their sins. You know, when you tell somebody, hey akhi, that was haram the way you talked about that brother. Backbiting is haram, man. You gotta stop that. Your tone, you gotta get control over that. You give advice. You look to your sister, to your brother, to your family. You give advice. But some of them respond, some Muslims respond and say, I just did it that one time. I only clicked the mouse to the haram website just once. No big deal. They never spoke this way. Sahabas never justified and made excuses for none of their sins. So immediately when they were told that something was wrong, so an example of this is when the revelation of alcohol, that it was prohibited, there are stories of companions that would empty containers of alcohol all on the streets. They didn't ask, well, why? Well, can't we have just a small container? You know, we don't have fresh water, so can we keep just a little? They didn't ask none of that. There's other stories. The Prophet ﷺ saw a man. He was wearing a gold ring. He told the man, he said to him, it amazes me why somebody wishes to wear burning coal on their skin. And the man took the ring off. He didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, it's 24 karat. Can I just hold on to it? No. He threw it away. There are so many stories like this of sahabas that they just would see the Prophet ﷺ doing something and it was enough. One very beautiful story, my brothers and sisters. The Prophet ﷺ used to take a particular path from Medina to Mecca. After his death, now this path, there was this large tree that would be in the middle of the path. So when the Prophet ﷺ is riding on the camel and he comes up to this tree, he would have to slouch down. Now after he passed away, the Sahabas took the same path to get to Mecca. Only this time, the tree was cut down, it was removed. But some Sahabas, you know what they did? When they got to the spot where the tree used to grow from, they would slouch down. Others would ask, what are you doing? There's nothing in your way. No, but there used to be a tree here that was in the way of the Prophet ﷺ. So because I love him so much, I want to do exactly what he did. Subhanallah. That's how you love him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number four. They took sins seriously. They never procrastinated. This was a major, major problem for the Sahabas. When they realized that they couldn't get along with either family members, relatives, or fellow companions, they took that stuff seriously. You know how today it's very common to find brothers and sisters that would live comfortably by themselves and have no issue with the fact that they won't speak, they won't say salams, but they are brothers and sisters, whether they actually be immediate brothers or sisters or brothers and sisters in faith. Today, in 2017, it's perfectly normal. Oh, that brother, he parked in my parking spot one time, so I don't know, he's crazy. I don't want to deal with him. Oh, that sister, she said A, Y, and Z. I don't want to talk to her either. And we divide and split and harbor these feelings in our hearts. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, listen to this. He would go to sleep and he would lose a lot of sleep at night. He would be tossing and turning all the time. Some of the Sahabas knew about this. So they said, Ya Umar, did you get some sleep? No. Next day they'll ask him again, Ya Umar, did you get sleep? No. So then eventually one Sahaba asked him, Ya Umar, why is it that you lose sleep every night this way? He said, the honest truth is, I lose sleep because I can't wait to see my brother in Islam, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu. I just can't wait to see him. I love him so much for the sake of Allah. I mean, who does that? Where is that love, that bond, that support, that appreciation? Why is it that in this day and age, trivial matters split us and break us apart? And it happens in families every day. 10, 15 years, your own sibling, your own cousin, your own aunt. You know, recently a brother passed away. He hadn't spoken to his father in almost 20 years. They were neighbors. They were literally neighbors to one another. And the only time the father came to see his son, he was bedridden, is for his janazah. Subhanallah. What do you tell Allah when you meet him that way? What do you say to Allah when he confronts you with things like that? You know, Allah won't ask you about what you did to change the world. Those questions, they come later. You know the first thing Allah asks us? The Prophet ﷺ told us, أَوَّلُ مَا يُسْأَلُ الْعَبْدُ عَنْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing you're asked about on the day of judgment is your prayer. Meaning, the thing you did for yourself. You prayed every day, but you still didn't get along with people. How'd that happen? You prayed every salah and you didn't hesitate to argue or fight with your brother and sister. You prayed every day, but you still would backbite. You prayed every day, but you still had these problems. Those are the questions that Allah will ask us first. May Allah Azza wa Jal make it easy for all of us. Allahumma ameen. The last and final avenue that Sahaba spoke to Allah is that they followed every sin with a good deed. And this is the command of our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time you make a mistake, try to do something good. Even if it means just smiling at someone for the sake of Allah. And you know that your smile would send a positive message and make that person happy, do that for the sake of Allah. There was a Sahaba that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was involved in a relationship. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm with this woman and I kissed her. This was the peak, like he couldn't go more than that. Once this happened, then his nafs became guilty. Then he knew that I have to do something about this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned his back from this man and walked away. The man ran after him. The man asked him again, Ya Rasulullah, this is what I've done. Tell me what I can do so I can get forgiveness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked away. Then the third time, when the man asked again, that is when verse number 114 in Surah Hud was revealed. Where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبَنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ Allah Azza wa Jalla says, in a nutshell, pray, establish your prayers all throughout the day, meaning make sure you pray 5 times a day, but even in the night, try to devote a portion of the night in some prayer, because every hasana burns out a sayya, a bad deed, an ugly deed. That verse was revealed because a sahaba kissed someone and he regretted doing that. That's what happens when you don't trivialize, you don't get used to bad habits, and you take all of the little things seriously. That's what happens. They become magnified in your heart, in your life. You see it talking to you every day. Every time you speak, and if you have a guilty habit of backbiting or lying or slandering, whatever the case is, it talks to you. Even if the other person you're speaking to doesn't care, you yourself start feeling that guilt. When you have that, this is a sign you still have a connection with your master. Now, why this khutbah? Why all of this today? This is what I will share with you in the second part of the khutbah and conclude with. Why did we mention these 5 pieces of information to all of you? This is what we will conclude with in the second part of the khutbah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to shower His mercy and His forgiveness upon each and every one of us. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive us. To forgive us. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive us. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin min kulli dhanb. Fastaghfiru innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala amma ba'd. My brothers and sisters, my final message to all of you. Where do you and I fit in terms of these 5 points? Where do you belong? That's the first thing you want to ask yourself. Where do you fit in any of these? You never justify your sin. Good. Alhamdulillah. That's one you have. You take your mistakes seriously. Good. That's two. Alhamdulillah. When somebody comes and gives you advice, you don't care who they are. As long as their advice is authentic and genuine, you accept it. You don't allow any ego and pride to get in the way. When you hear قال الله or you hear قال رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, you get in the mode of what? سمعنا وأطعنا. You hear and you obey. Where do you fit in all of that? This is the point that all of us have to take some time, especially now that these holidays are going to begin, take some time to reflect on you. Go back to your house, look around and see if something needs to be changed or tweaked. Go back home tonight when you have your children and every single day they sleep for 12 or 14 hours, break that habit. Don't let them say to you, well, Dad, it's a holiday. That's not the point. You lose barakah in the day when you do that. Start having some conversations. When you're at the dinner table with your kids, if it's a rare thing in your home, use that opportunity to talk about something. Talk about a subject. And if you have nothing to talk about, just share a story from the Quran about something. Talk about Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Share something that you have learned. Do this with your children. And if still none of these are options for you, watch out for this, parents. This is my message to you. Maybe the kids may not like this, but you need to know this. Be very cautious. If your children stay home these next 2 weeks and they spend the majority of their time in their bed, in their bedrooms, and they only come down to eat or when they need something, be careful for this behavior. Because this is what experts say are the indicators or signs that your kids are either hiding things or they have found new parents. They have found parents on Instagram. They found parents on Facebook. They confide into other people, but all of them are not you. Be careful. Watch out for this behavior. And when you talk to them and lecture them, be careful when you hear, "I don't care, whatever." These are all indicators that there is a problem with the relationship and that needs to be sorted out. You see, the young people, they know this very well. This is the one statement you don't ever want your child to say to you, parents, when they say, "whatever." Because that's when it means that they don't really care and they're not taking you seriously. These are things to work on. So parents, may Allah Azza wa Jal give you strength and bless your time. Bless your efforts. May Allah Azza wa Jal strengthen the bond between you and your children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our sons and our daughters. May Allah Azza wa Jal continue to bless them to learn the message of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. These are the words that I leave you with, ayyuhal ahbab. We send peace and blessings to our Rasul, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili. Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار